Elliot, did you
Hello.
see this week that Valve introduced a new map to the map pool in CS2? I don't think it was the map anyone expected.
Let's call it a new map. It's very much an old map.
Yeah, it's an old map that's new to probably a good chunk of people playing CS2.
Yeah.
They introduced Italy, which I think is a little bit out of left field. I don't think anyone was really expecting
Italy. They were like
Italy.
Showing it in some of the photos and like the blog posts and stuff. I think people sort of kind of gaslit themselves into thinking it was Inferno. They haven't shown Inferno yet, and they've taken competitive out of the beta, which means either they're changing it and they're keeping it under wraps and they want it to be a surprise, or the one I'm hoping for,
they're
it's
removing
out.
It completely.
Like Duncan Valentine, it's who.
We've seen so much Inferno already because we've seen actual Inferno photos.
Yeah.
We've seen B site, we've seen A site. And I don't
so
think they would have gone. Yeah, I don't think they've gone through that whole process of redoing the entire map just to take it out.
Yeah,
I think unfortunately Inferno is still in, but I think it's really interesting that we know that they're pushing some of these older maps through because we saw Office earlier,
right?
And we're seeing Italy now, and it may be, hey, maybe we're going to push a little bit more on hostage mode this time because in CS:GO it seemed dead since the beginning.
I will always love Valve for creating the greatest game of all time. Half-Life. No, Counter-Strike Global Offensive. But...
Hey, Dota Underlords, okay?
They have some really weird fucking ideas of what makes Counter-Strike great.
Yeah.
The things they love about Counter-Strike are not the things that make Counter-Strike great. And their obsession with hostage mode is truly baffling. We don't need Office and we don't need Italy. Nobody plays this game seriously wants this. I imagine the casuals probably wouldn't notice if it was out. Maybe they would.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm completely wrong. Why not just turn Italy and Office into defusal maps? If you really want them. Because nobody likes hostage mode.
It seems to me just like one of those weird things that just... I don't know. It exists and it gives me Danger Zone vibes. And the reason I say that is because it's this mode that was added into the game. Danger Zone's been around for like 5 years now, right? There's like 7 people who play Danger Zone, and I'm pretty sure I'm half of them. But like, no one fucking plays the mode. And the question is like, oh, will this ever move over into Counter-Strike 2? And we've seen no reason for it to. But it feels like one of these like ancillary game modes that isn't standard competitive because that's all people play.
Yeah.
So...
The thing with Danger Zone is, I actually don't know why Danger Zone is shit. I can't articulate
love Danger Zone, okay? It's just...
This
game was not meant for Danger Zone.
Just like Valve, you have some very strange ideas for what makes the game great.
I have many strange things.
I mean, I'm not a big Battle Royale guy anyway. But I like them occasionally. And for some reason, I can't get on with Danger Zone. And I can't tell you why. In theory, if I was ever going to like a Battle Royale...
It would be
one with Counter-Strike mechanics. But
yeah.
Warzone is just better.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a big Battle Royale person, but I will play Danger Zone. Alright, we've got a good show for you guys today. We have some information. It's just kind of a grab bag, honestly. There's a lot of nothing going on, and we refuse to cover Gamers 8 on a very serious note because it's a best of three single elimination tournament, so...
I was not on board for this decision, just like you said.
But there's a bullet point. We'll talk about it.
I like single alien.
We'll talk about it. But yeah, we'll talk about Gamers 8. We'll talk about the IEM Sydney Close Qualifier. We'll talk about the other CS2 release leaks. And whatever else comes up. This is Overtime on Inferno. Cue the music thing. Just where we normally do the little dance thing bit. Welcome to Overtime on Inferno. My name is Logan Rahab. This is AZ Ask. We are back today in the weeks between Cologne ending and Pro League starting, where there's Gamers 8 and not much else. But first, we need to have a moment of silence as a once great player of the game has retired. Flusha has retired from competitive Counter-Strike. if you were surprised that Flusha had just retired from competitive Counter-Strike, I don't think anyone would have blamed you. He's been playing for Eyeballers with JW for like the last year and a half.
And that's enough to make anyone retire.
I don't think that team was ever particularly very good.
No. That team might have been good 10 years ago if those players were in it.
Yeah.
And some of them were like 11, and they still would have been pretty good because Flusher and JW were actually just that good.
They were so good. They used to be so good, and now they're...
So, I got 2 points to make. One is I just want to remind people of how incredible Flusher was in that best of five final against FaZe at their peak on map 5 of a grand final. I don't even remember the event. I think it was Kato. It was Kato, right?
I thought it was IEM Oakland.
I don't remember. It might have been Oakland. All I remember is how incredible Flusher was in this best five. He got 2 aces on map 5, one of them in overtime, I believe. And he just gets all... It was like a 2v5. He got all 5 kills and they won the round. This was like after his peak against the FaZe team that was, you know, the best team in the world, no questions asked. And he dragged Fnatic to that trophy as he had done in the past. As, to be honest, I still think he can do now.
I don't know why, but when I said Oakland, I went, oh yes, NIP has only won one of entries.
It was NIP at Oakland, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I don't know why I put Flusher plus NIP together, but that's its own time now.
I don't remember. I thought it was Kato, but I could also be wrong.
It could have been Kato. But yeah, no, Flusher has retired. He was the original person that was really like... what the fuck is the word I'm looking for?
Accused of cheating.
Yeah, yeah, accused of and cheating.
This was
right?
My second point was going to be: Do you think he cheated?
I think that there needs to be a documentary that comes out in the next 3 years or something. That's like making it's like a style of Making the Murderer. That comes out about Flusher cheating, and it like interviews all of his teammates. They're like, "Ah, I saw him do it," and the next shot you see cheating, you go, "Nah, he's just that good." And you go through the whole bit. And there's like documentary footage we've never seen for when he was on the Fnatic, and then it gets to the end and it's just Flusher going,
yeah,
I thought I was cheating, and it just ends black.
And then it ends on the spinning top from Inception.
No, it ends with 17 knife kills in a row in the back.
Is it so if this top stops spinning, I was cheating, and it's just spinning and they fail,
it just ends.
Yeah,
it ends before it stops.
Ends before it stops or keeps going. Nobody knows.
Yeah, you never know which. Yeah,
somebody
spin
botting. Actually, it's somebody spin botting instead of a spinning top. Somebody spin botting. If he stopped spin botting, I wasn't cheating.
Oh Lord! All right, let's talk about IEM Gamers 8. No, let's talk about Gamers 8.
It's sort of IEM Gamers 8.
So there's a couple points that we want to say ahead of this. I want to say, to start with, this is not a tournament unlike any other tournament we normally have. Every other tournament we have is a group stage, a Swiss system, a round robin.
Some other nonsense fluff.
Some other...
Get straight to the meat and potatoes. Give me single elim, give me a big playoff bracket and nothing else. I love this shit.
Yeah, this is just
put up
single
or shot,
elim
win
straight.
Or you're out. I don't care. No fucking about. Win out. Win or go out. No messing. It's the way it should be.
Yeah, so this is a tournament with $1 million prize pool in Saudi Arabia with one team that is Saudi Arabian in it. And they're not even really Saudi Arabian.
No,
it's
they're
Falcons.
It's Falcons who are owned, obviously. They're owned by people out there. The only player they have east of Europe is Boros, who you could argue
Jordanian.
Is their best player. Yeah, he's Jordanian.
I don't think it's an argument. I think he is their best player, but...
Yeah, probably. I mean, Laux and MHL are both very good. Body's also been really good the last few years.
I mean, the problem is that we've played a whole 4 matches, and the second Saudi Arabian team, the only Saudi Arabian team, I believe, is now out.
They're not out. They're 1-0 down in the best of 3.
Oh, it's 1... HLTV will show the score, and then they'll show 1-0.
Yeah, it's if it says 2-0, obviously. That's what you know it's
over. Yeah.
They just lost map one. It was a really good map, actually. Falcons really put up a fight.
Yeah, so I want to talk about this tournament. There's a lot of teams in here that are, like, good.
Yep.
Which shouldn't be that surprising, but they've got
that's why people are talking about it, right? Because normally an event out in Saudi Arabia, the single elim with 16 teams, people wouldn't be that asked about. But
yeah,
8 of the top 10, I think, are there, or 7 of the top 10?
Yeah, 8 of the top 10, and then it's, like, 11 of the top 15.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of peeps here.
There's a lot of big teams here, and it's a big prize pool as well, as you know.
And there were open qualifiers, so it would fall under Valve's new new tournament ranking. We'll walk through matchup by matchup. So obviously Heroic Falcons is going on right now. I don't really have a great sense on which way it'll go. To probably Heroic, but
Heroic winning map one, really. Like, if Falcons did close out Mirage when they were in a dominant position to do so, it would have made for a very interesting series, because you'd have Heroic back against the wall in a playoff game. We all know how that ends. But
that is a good point. Everyone is a player. Every game is a playoff game now.
Yeah. So, you know, if Heroic win this, Boros and MHL both look very good. I mean, it was Mirage, and we know Boros is good at Mirage. And we know, for that reason alone, Falcons will probably be pretty good at Mirage. They ran Heroic pretty close, but not winning the map that you know they're going to be good at. Kind of.
Heroic
will just win the series.
Yeah, it roughs you up a little bit. So the winner of Heroic Falcons, which we're guessing right now, again, as recording going on, will be Heroic. We'll play Gamer Legion, as Gamer Legion and Apex played each other this morning in the match of who overperformed more at the last major.
I think I made that exact joke in the newsletter. Yep.
That may be where I got it from, to be completely honest.
Oh, okay. I thought we both came up with it independently.
I mean, it's very possible I did. I don't know. Yeah. I don't remember if I read the newsletter, so. Gamer Legion won the overperforming battle.
I think
is true.
They're, like, kind of legit. They lost their two best players, and they're still good.
Yeah, I mean, they brought in... So, Gamer Legion kind of went under the radar when we did our big Roster Mania show, right?
Yeah, and I don't feel bad about leaving them out. Underrating them, because I think it's insane to suggest that we ever thought this was coming.
I don't feel bad about underrating them for a couple reasons, right? The first being that, one, at that point, we didn't know who was joining this team. We didn't know that when you lose...
Oh, even if we did know, I still think...
Yeah, but you didn't know that when you lose Ima and Suhi that you were getting Neelan and Volt, right? I also think that we all forgot that Neelan was a serviceable player in Europe.
Neelan's always been pretty good.
Well, but the problem is he went to North America, and we all just remembered he was in North America. So we kind of... I think that most people forgot that Neelan was good before he went to North America, that he was, like, a decently good player at that point. And then Volt, just coming off of the Into the Breach stuff, I think was pretty good. And we see that that may have not just been a fluke, right? That Volt was pretty good on Into the Breach and still pretty good now playing for Game Religion. And the Game Religion team previously was more than the sum of their parts. And as of right now, with our small sample size, because, right, they were at Cologne and they're here now, they seem to maybe actually be a little bit more than the sum of their parts.
Yeah. As you say, even if when you said we didn't know who was going to join, I'm pretty sure there were rumors it was going to be Neelan and Volt. And that's part of the reason I was like, oh, okay, that's unfortunate. This team is just not going to be as good. But they're frying, and I don't really know how or why. I genuinely don't know how they're this good. Like, you look at that team, and the players aren't that good. Neelan, I rate as an in-game leader, but how much can he really do with but he seems to be turning... I don't want to be disrespectful to the Game Legion players, because they're obviously good players.
Yeah.
Look at their fucking results. But he is turning straw into gold. But it also makes me wonder if this is less to do with the in-game leader and more to do with the structure in which they exist within. In that Ash as the coach, or the way Game Legion scout and create a system allows them to just slot in in-game leaders, allows them to slot in new players, and it makes very little difference to the actual performance. I don't know who should get credit, but somebody deserves some credit for this game in Asian team.
It's us. We can claim credit because no one else is.
Yeah, all right. I won't make that joke, actually. It's not the time or place.
So they beat Apex this morning. Cachanito has just continued to kind of be on a tear, even in the loss.
Yep. He's good.
He's good. I mean...
Apex felt like they should have at least treaded water, if not got better. Maybe they have, and it's just taking a little bit of time. For them, you'd kind of hope they would be Game Legion when you look at the moves they made over the summer. Like, they should be the best team, but it doesn't always pan out like that.
So the next match was our first real match of... I'm gonna call this the first real match of the Cloud9 Colossus Part 2. Because I know we got them at Cologne, but...
Yeah, that was an unfortunate situation. Yeah,
so I'd say this is the first real match of the Colossus, and they kind of beat up on Fnatic a lot.
Yeah, Fnatic are a strange team, and at the moment, I have no faith in them being a good team.
They looked good at Kato for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, and then they were all happy about that. Did the Fnatic thing where they just stopped looking good as soon as they were faced with a little bit of adversity.
I have nothing more to say about that game. So Cloud9 will face the winner of legitimately what I think is going to be the best match. This happened today. It does happen today. It happens in about 2 hours from now, which is Liquid Ents. Ents is a really, really good team right now, right? We saw them get all the way to the finals and put up some amount of fight right in the finals of Cologne.
Yep.
And then Liquid, who, as always, we've said this before, is must-see Counter-Strike because they will either be the best team in the world or the worst team in the world at any given moment. And that may be a little exaggeration, but they're all over the place and play the most aggressive and also passive Counter-Strike in the same team that we've ever seen.
The Jaeger Bomb team.
Yeah. So that game will be super fun to watch. Do you have any predictions other than Ents is going to win? Because I think that's probably the safe answer.
Ents is really going to win.
Okay. Ents is really good.
Yeah, they're really going to win. They're going to do it. They're going to go sicko mode.
Sicko.
No, sicko
mode. That way it's a Greyhound thing.
Yeah. Couch. No, they're not going to go. They're not going to play like Greyhound. They're going to go sicko mode.
Okay. Speaking of teams that have historically been extremely passive and also aggressive, Virtus Pro is playing against FaZe on the next portion of the bracket.
I know you've just said Liquid Ents is your most excited game.
This is a pretty good match.
I don't think this will be good to watch, but I'm still really excited because I fucking love Virtus Pro. I love Mir, and watching him playing his top tier opposition is always a joy. Even if he is going to be straight, like in a straight jacket. Jay will keep him locked down.
I totally forgot that Mir was on this team right now.
This team.
I had absolutely zero recollection because Virtus Pro's played in about a million matches recently for all like the tier two Mickey Mouse Cups. And I haven't watched any Virtus Pro. And I totally forgot that they subbed out Mir for. Norbert Tremere for right now.
Here's a fun game. Name three teams with a better rifle trio than Virtus Pro.
Let's see if I can remember the rifle trio for Virtus Pro first. Lit, Fame, Mir, you're thinking?
Yep.
Okay. I'd say Liquid when they're on is a better trio. I'd say FaZe is a better trio. You don't think Rain, Rops, and Twist is a better trio?
Nope.
Mir
versus Rain is clearly Mir. Well, Mir or Fame, like, just clear Rain by such an amount that it's... Right.
Yeah, you think so.
Mechanically, right. G2, Nico Hunter, JKS. Yeah, G2,
I'd say Cloud9 as well.
Maybe Cloud9, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Electronic Exile. Hobbit
it
Fracto,
just doesn't
yeah,
matter probably. Who the last one is. Electronic Exile.
It kind of does. Exile in playoffs? No.
You're adding
other
more stipulations.
Honestly, other than that, I'm struggling. Maybe Vitality, maybe Flame Sphinx Magisk.
No, definitely Vitality. Flame Sphinx Magisk is just incredible.
It's pretty good.
It's an incredible.
It's no Mir. It's no Mir Fame and Flip.
What's the Forza Rifle Trio look like?
Oh, God knows.
Spirit.
Oh, maybe. I haven't seen enough of Donk yet.
But Spirit could
Donk
be up
Magics
there.
And Zontic? Oh, isn't Zontic an in-game? I don't know what Spirit's third rifle even is.
Is it Art? No, Artfrost is the Arbiter.
Artfrost is the Arbiter. It's either Zontic or Chopper. I don't know which one's in-game leading. I assume Chopper's in-game leading. I thought Zontic was an in-game leader.
Maybe they're both in-game leader.
Like, my point is, pound for pound, there were very, very few teams who can match Versus Pro's firepower.
And the thing about the teams that we just named, all of them other than Spirit are top five teams.
Yeah.
Right? Cloud9, G2, Vitality, the teams that like we have a real stake in, right? Those are all top five, the top three teams probably, actually, right? Like,
yeah, like
they're real fucking good.
There are genuinely very few teams who can live with that level of firepower, and you add in the system that VP play in that is very difficult to play against, but that also can be something of a detractor from the raw skill of their riflers. But they're such an intriguing team because, in theory, they could be a top five team on any given day, but they're not consistent. But I would never, ever, ever be happy to face Virtus Pro if I was a big team.
Yeah, I mean, Virtus Pro is always it's a scary team to face.
Whoever
we've said this for like the last year, but Virtus Pro became the new big, which was, if you're going to be a top-tier team, you need to know how to play against Virtus Pro, because if you cannot play against the way Jane plays,
then he
will expose you.
But then also, they won a major. Like,
yeah.
They're not like, it's not even like they're gatekeepers. They're actually just a legitimately good team. And, you know, obviously it's a slightly different roster now, but I don't think they've downgraded.
Who the fuck, Jane is still on the roster. Who cares?
Yeah, well, exactly. Right, G2 play 9. If G2 do beat 9, which I have a few concerns, but they probably will. Do you think if you're G2, you would rather face FaZe or Virtus Pro in the next round? Because that's
FaZe. FaZe.
You'd rather
it's
face FaZe. Yeah,
it's
I
not
think
a
I
question
as well.
Today on the year, the day of our Lord, August 16th. I would
every
prefer
day
to
is
face.
The day of our Lord.
I prefer to play FaZe. Okay. 2 weeks down the line, it may be Virtus Pro. Because FaZe is so dependent on form on any given day that they could go from they could be like, Carrigan is the greatest IGL ever, and he has one of the best rifle courts ever, and Brokey isn't shitting the bed. Like, they could be that team, or they could be the team that we've seen the last couple of months, which is just like, they're fine. I have nothing great. I have nothing. Virtus Pro, on the other hand, as I said before, we'll fuck you because they play weird.
That's so horrible to play it. It's crazy how we're both talking Virtus Pro up this much, and they will now just get 16-5.
Oh yeah, no, they're gonna
lose. Guaranteed.
This is gonna be
the first time in their life they won't make a game close.
This is gonna be the Carrigan greatest IGL in the world game. He's gonna put them on their back.
We'll get into in a minute as well. Virtus Pro are going to get nerfed pretty significantly going into CS2 as well.
Yes. We absolutely... Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second.
But it's all FaZe, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah. All right, next game. We just talked about G2-9. It should be G2 show every day of the week. I love 9. 9 is fun to watch. I love Haiti. This is G2.
Right. My prediction for this game, 2-1 G2. 9 smash them on Vertigo and then lose both maps. 9's Vertigo. 9's Vertigo, amazing. So good at Vertigo.
I mean, I'm in for it. The next match I want to talk about also starts in about an hour and a half from recording time. It's a battle of the new look teams. So Na'Vi with their whatever lineup this is, and Furia with the now fallen lead but art infused lineup that they've got rocket over there.
Yeah, I Cesarato obviously had that, you know, he had that time off, and you know, I don't want to go into it, but he obviously had a family tragedy. He hasn't looked the same since, and I think until Cesarato is fully back, it's really difficult to judge this Fiore lineup. And they will probably lose today, and they'll probably lose until Cesarato is back to being one of the best riflers in the world, unfortunately.
I think that's probably right. I do also think, though, that if there was a team that was in a quote-unquote vulnerable situation to be taken advantage of by, like, Fallen's going to be really disciplined in calling, Cello and Yuri have really good games, right? Art doesn't completely int, that it may be Navi right now, because they're going through the same shtick, right? Like, there's not many other teams that are, like, reasonable. Like, if I told you Fury was going to play, like, I don't know, Pain, I'd probably still put Fury over, but like, or any NA team for that matter. But against the European team, like, there's not many other teams than Na'Vi that I'd be like, yeah, no, this could be a game.
Yeah.
I still don't expect them to win.
Na'Vi also having issues in that their star rifle also hasn't quite shown up. Ima just hasn't really shown up yet.
Yeah.
In a Na'Vi shirt.
Yeah, and Simple hasn't. I saw a take online. I don't remember if it was a full take or if it was an article or something, but it was something about that Simple's having like one of the worst years in his career this year.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. And which is insane for me to think of, because he's still Simple and he's the unquestionable greatest Counter-Strike player of all time, and he's still playing well, but he's still not having a great year.
Yeah,
which
no,
I think is insane.
He's not playing to the level that we know he can at the moment, and
yeah,
it is a shame, but obviously again there's extraneous circumstances, and it's not always easy to, when you lose a little bit of that magic, to refind it immediately. It's still in there somewhere, but I don't know, maybe his peak is just over.
Yeah,
like he was the best player in the world for about 4 years, like,
which is a lot of time. Like,
yeah, like esports years are like twice the length of normal years as well.
Like, it's like dog years.
It's like dog year. Like, 4 years in football is 8 years in esports.
Yeah. And it's insane. All right, last match going on right now is MIBR versus Vitality. Vitality's up one map. I have nothing to say about this because this MIBR team.
I have something to say.
All right, please.
Poor MIBR.
Yeah, really? Shit seeding.
You've flown all the way out to Saudi Arabia, and then you realize the event is seeded, and you have to play Vitality. Unlucky.
Well,
no, go next.
They can go see Neymar now.
They can go see. That's true, actually, yeah. Although he's an investor in Fury, isn't he? Neymar?
Yeah.
He's an investor in Fury. So, you know, he might, you know, they're a rival.
If Furia gets knocked out in the first round and MIBR get knocked out in the first round, I don't think there will be a huge issue.
Of course not. Like, Neymar is a hero to most Brazilians, I think, purely because of that 2014 World Cup. He was very good.
All right, I got one last question on Gamers 8 for us. Actually, two. One, will next year's tournament be called Gamers 9? And
yes.
Will, what's your gut check? Win the tournament on Sunday. Ent. That was actually my answer as well. I think Ents have a really easy side of the bracket, right? They have
whoever
to play.
Wins out of Cloud9 Ents.
Ents, yes.
I think G2 never win two events back to back.
No,
they just don't.
No, G2 is out of my head. In my head, it's like G2, Cloud9, Vitality,
Virtus Pro.
I'm sorry, Ents, Cloud9, Vitality, Virtus Pro.
You're just fully Virtus Pro pilled with me. Is it your Virtus Pro cell?
I mean, okay, but like, here's the thing, right? They have to play FaZe, right? And assuming they
Winnables.
Win against FaZe, then they go and play against the winner of G2-9, and G2's not allowed to look good after they've won. So
yeah, that's kind of my feeling as well.
They make semis automatically, right? And assuming they play up against Vitality.
We'll see. I Yeah, I like that. Maybe I'm just getting too gassed up about Verse Fire. It's been so long since I've seen them, and I've just always, I just love fucking Mayor, man. He's so good.
They've been dead for a bit, right?
Yeah.
All right, we got to talk about something else, this time with North America. Last week, the IEM Sydney Open qualifiers happened. And the reason that we're talking about this, so first of all, we'll start with M81, the first Open qualifier, bringing them to the post qualifier. They were in the finals against Evil Geniuses. Fine. M80 is a pretty good team. We had Swisher on the pod a couple weeks ago. I'm in. The problem was is that that was on Wednesday, Thursday. And so Friday, Saturday was Open qualifier number two. And you go, okay, well, M80's not participating. Evil Geniuses got second. They put, like, Wildcard was in it. Detonate was in it. Party Astronauts was in it, right? There were some good teams in it. They got second place. They should be a shoe-in for the second Open qualifier. And then they went and lost to a team called Forsaken in the finals. Now, if you are not familiar with Forsaken, I don't blame you, because why would you be familiar with random North American teams? The lineup for Forsaken is as follows. JBA, former Limitless player.
Obviously.
Sexy, who formerly played for about every single team in North America, but most recently Party Astronaut, Nouns, and Game Gladiators. Infinite, who most recently has played for Party Astronauts, and then most importantly, Stanislaw and Wiz, who have most recently played for EG Black. White.
I couldn't tell you.
EG Color.
White.
Insert color here. No, I think white was Party Astronauts. And they both played for...
I don't know.
Whatever the fuck it is. They both played for EG. And then when EG retooled their roster, both were let go. And they've just kicked EG out of playing in the closed qualifier for IAM Cologne. Now,
yeah,
not Cologne, IAM Sydney. Now, I don't expect Forsaken to actually get through the closed qualifier, for what it's worth.
No.
Because closed qualifiers, Complexity, Nouns, M80, and Forsaken. And they just play like double Elan best of threes.
Oh, yeah, no, they're screwed. They won't be.
They're fucked either way. And
but
I
then EG would have been as well. So.
EG would have been fucked either way. But EG can't even get through open qualifiers in North America.
And it's like, yeah, all that favor they got from, you know, calling up their academy team, whether that was their own choice or not, all that favor they got, like, oh, you know, we're willing to give you some time because it's the academy roster.
I'm willing to give them time against Europe.
Come on, you got to qualify an open qualifiers, man.
In America. I have other information about Evil Genius. So this information comes from Travis Gafford, who is League of Legends guy. And I, obviously, if it hasn't been particularly clear, both of us follow League of Legends esports to varying degrees.
Yeah, I used to follow a lot more than I do now.
And I follow a lot more now than I used to. But Travis said on Hotline League this past Monday that currently what it seems like, because there's rumors about LCS slot being sold and it may be Evil Genius, that what it is that Peak Six, which is the VC firm that owns the majority stake in Evil Geniuses, is pulling out a lot of their funding and their shares and selling their shares elsewhere. And that Nicole, who's the current CEO, may not be for much longer because she was put in by Peak Six. So there may be more changes coming in the future on how Evil Geniuses runs as a esports team because of the de-investment from Peak Six and possible investment from other sources. That's my tidbit.
It's hard to blame them. Like, you look at how it's run and like...
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing.
If
it's
I was
not
an
even...
investor, I wouldn't be fucking happy that much.
Here's the thing, is that if you're in a bubble of only watching Counter-Strike, you don't know about the shit that happened in other games, right?
Oh,
their Valor team, actually particularly well run. Fort Potter, former CLG Red member, coach there, they've been to two huge international tournaments, the finals and one of them. Their League of Legends team is currently under investigation by Riot about mistreatment of a player.
The Valor team's really well run. The League of Legends team as well, yeah, no, under investigation for mistreating a player. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that one's, you know, standard stuff.
Yeah, and they dropped their entire roster because of money concerns in between the last two splits and signed only minimum contract players. So there is definitely something happening there. We'll inform with more information comes out based on Evil Geniuses, but yeah. All right, and we have... just hit my glasses. They're off to the side. Okay, we have one more topic for today, and then we will end, finish up. So our last topic is CS2 in general, as a whole. So there's a couple things that have come out. One is Cobble has been data mined, that there is a Cobble winter snow thing happening. There's a couple ways this can go. I hope to God that they understand that the newest version of Cobble was terrible, and it was worse than the older versions of Cobble, which while a lot of people loved, was just a bad map.
Yeah. I love the A site on Cobble. The B site has always been a problem.
Well, then they fucked with the A site. That was the problem.
Yeah, and ruined both sites. Like, great, yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, no, I loved Cobble. A site was pretty, I thought was pretty good, leading into them reworking a good chunk of it. B site definitely needed some work on, but it seems that they are actively moving it to Counter-Strike 2. So the hope
is
that...
making it snowy.
Yeah, which I'm okay with. I mean, we don't have a snowy map in the pool.
Yeah, we need a little bit of balance. We've got two green maps.
Two?
Ancient and...
Cache is the other one, but it's
not...
Oh,
yeah, I might be thinking of Cache. Yeah. Yeah, my bad.
It's
Ancient
okay. We
is
have a
just... Ancient is just a remake of Cache.
It's okay, because we have about 17 different dust-colored maps.
Yeah.
So give us snow map.
I'm down for a snow map. Should be easier to spot people on a snow map.
I agree. I mean, it depends on what agent skins that the Valve gives, not that player gives, but Valve gives. Because it could be in CS 1.6, there was like the Arctic Avengers or whatever they were, that were like snow... themed and white and gray and shit, so it was a little harder to see them. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's a good idea.
You had a bit you wanted to bring up about Counter-Strike 2?
Yeah, smokes. So as what I was talking about, oh, the smokes.
I mean, smokes, yeah. And MR12. We have both of those left.
Yeah. So the smokes are smaller. But the thing I was talking about was nerfing Virtus Pro was the MR12. Because allegedly the new premier mode is going to be an
MR12.
Before
you talk about this. So premier mode seems to be similar to some sort of like Valorant premier mode, which is basically ESEA. Yeah. It seems to be built in. There seems to be, you can't force stack, which leads me to believe it's more like in Uber. There is some sort of leaderboard system. It seems to be like an Uber competitive mode. You can't force stack. You can only 1, 2, 3, or 5 stack, but it seems to be like they're, Valve is listening to somewhat of a degree of the matchmaking concerns that we've had for a bit. I'm not trying to push this.
Yeah, but none of my matchmaking concerns were based around the game being 20% shorter, which is what they seem to be trying to do.
So, but with this, some of the data mine stuff was that there was an MR12 mode.
I think Premier mode is MR12.
Yeah, it seems that Premier is MR12, which how do I even describe who this person? The name is Alchemist or Jason Baker on Twitter. He's an old esports guy, so he's been in esports for like a million years.
He's not that old. He's just been in esports for a long time.
He's been in esports for a million years.
Yeah, when you say old esports guy, he's not a really old guy.
As we've talked about, esports years are like dog years. So
he's an OG.
Yeah. But he was the reason that like Counter-Strike over time had a certain amount of money, because there's a whole story behind it, and he's been in a lot of esports for a while, and he had said that the reason that Counter-Strike got moved to MR30 was because of a money bug in, I think it was CS 1.6, in CPL.
Yeah.
So they moved to MR30, and that moving back to MR12 was actually the original CS.
But we've now had MR15 for a while, and I think it's superior.
I think MR15 is great. I want to see what they do about pistol rounds with MR12.
Yep.
because here's the thing, right? There's
things that just won't work properly if the game is just ported to MR2. I'm sure they'll change some things, but it just increases variance in a game that doesn't need increased variance.
Yeah. So if everyone's still a little unsure what the fuck we're talking about, MR12 is max rounds 12, which is basically 12 max rounds per half. So similar to Valorant, how Valorant is first to 13 to win, we'd be in the same ballpark. So there would be 12 rounds per half instead of 15, which means that you generally want to equal a little bit less because you have less rounds that you can win to get in the half, right? Your pistol round means more now because winning the pistol plus the conversion, and if you can win your third round gun buy, then you're up what already a quarter of the entirety comparative to a fifth,
which,
right?
I hate
it. It means pistol rounds mean a lot more, and that snowballing means a lot more because there are less rounds to lose, less rounds for you to come back on a certain side. And as Elliot said, it increases variance within the game. So
also, as a T-side, you need less depth. You only need like four different gun rounds a game.
Okay.
Because you're probably only going to get four or five gun rounds a game. Like, maybe not. But like, you don't need many different rounds. You don't have time to adjust to what the enemy is doing. So if somebody does anti-strat you, you know, the 200th best team in the world anti-strat you and counters two of your gun rounds, you're already like 7-8 nil down. And they only need like three, four more. You know, they only need four more rounds, like five more rounds. It's insane. Like, all it does is make upsets more likely and therefore less legitimate, less important. You're increasing variance in a game that doesn't need it. You're shortening great games. It's like, oh, I don't have time to watch a three-hour game. I don't have time to watch a five-day test match in cricket. But I'm not asking people to shorten the test match because it ruins the game. Like, it's... And when it is good, it's really fucking good, and you want that to last as long as it can. Like, the FaZe versus Ents game that was 15-15 and then 21-21, like, it'd just be so much less interesting if it was like, well, it would be 12-12, you get fewer of those last six rounds were amazing in regulation. You just wouldn't have that. And, how often do you see a team get to like 14-11 before the CT side actually has enough economy to fight back and win one round, and then the momentum completely changes? It completely fucks with the momentum. It completely fucks with the length of the game and how the game should flow. It's I hate it. I really hate going MR12. I really don't like it. And as you see, pistol rounds become more important, and that's not, it's not something I don't think anyone wants. Maybe Dennis. Maybe Dennis wants it.
I don't know. I'm gonna hold back on my opinion of this because, like, from the jump, I'm a little skeptical. I've played a good chunk of Valorant, right? For what it's worth, I've played Valorant Premier Mode for the last two seasons that they've had it. I've played a good chunk of Valorant. I could see it possibly being okay, but they need to do something about the efficacy of pistol rounds and the efficacy of snowballing, right? The big thing that Valorant has in its, like, arsenal to help reduce a lot of that
ultimate
is your max money is 9K.
Oh, right, yeah.
So you can't get richer than 9,000, and the guns are roughly the same price as they are in Counter-Strike. So your snowball isn't as snowball, right? You can break an eco in two rounds.
Yep.
Which, if Val was to start introducing changes that would help with that kind of thing, right? If Valve was going to start introducing, oh, we're just switching our max money, or, oh, we're reducing the efficacy of pistol rounds on how much you win, how much money you win from a pistol round, or how much, like, however they reduce that, I could see it working.
But I don't know if I want
it to work. No.
Yeah. I don't want them to punish you for winning seven rounds in a row by only being able to build up a certain amount of money just so we can make the game shorter, which I don't want in the first place. I think I genuinely think that's the worst of both worlds.
Yeah,
I really don't like this idea.
I want to pull back on this, like the idea of this until I see how it's, because I think I'm less for it just generically, but I do see that there is a huge difference between we're going to take Counter-Strike exactly as it is right now and just chop the rounds off of it versus we're changing how the game is played.
No, of course.
Overall, and that the implementation completely is going to be a difference maker for me, especially because Valve has made changes before in Counter-Strike that we went, what the fuck, why are you doing this? And then we just learned to live with it after a couple rounds, like after a couple weeks.
I don't think they've made
anything this big, but
no, exactly.
They've made changes that we went, why the fuck did you do this? And then we kind of learned.
Like which ones? Because the ones I can think of, I was never against bringing in like Ancient and Anubis. I also thought that was
fine. I'm thinking like the SG meta or something like that.
Yeah, and everyone hated it. Everyone hated it and they reverted it.
No, I know, but we had it for like a year and a half, right? Of like, we just kind of all got used to
it.
Yeah,
it kind of ruined the game for a year.
Which is what I think
they're going to do by adding MR12, and then they'll change it back.
I think it's possible. I don't know. I'm willing to see what it does. I also think that if they're switching something to MR12, that will come out in beta before the game officially comes out. I don't think that they'd...
On the beta, it's still MR30.
I'd assume that they wouldn't drop something as big as switching the entire game to MR12 on release day.
Who knows?
Hey, here's the other thing on that, right? Like, if you put on a release day and you're like, hey, we want you to play this game professionally, but we're also switching our rounds down to MR12, imagine how much different planning goes. Like, from a pro perspective, there's so many different things that have to be redone the second you chop three rounds off a half.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I don't know. I really hope this is a premier mode only test thing and they'll fucking mess with it. I don't like it.
All right. And on that disappointment, we're going to end the show today. You can find us on Twitter at Logan Rahat, at AZS. And you can find us live on Twitter, at least this week.
Right now. You might already be live
on twitter.com/readTLDR. We'll be back again next week. We will have pre-show for IEM. And by IEM, I mean EPL.
ESL Pro League.
ESL Pro League. We'll have pre-show for that next week. And we'll talk about who wins the single elimination bracket Colossus of the Death that's happening in Saudi Arabia right now.
I always end with disappointment.
Until that point, goodbye.